Welcome to First Nation Ministries. Today we're bringing you a classic broadcast from our founder, Reverend Don Klein.
I love to tell the story.
This is First Nation Ministries, dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Indian tribes of the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Now here's the director of First Nation Ministries, Reverend Don Klein.
Hello there, neighbor. Well, we've been talking about the call of God and the vision that God gives. I want to kind of zero in on faith today. It's by faith that we serve God. If we can just walk by sight, if an angel appeared and with cloven tongues of fire, most any old sinner would probably stop and listen. That it's those that listen to the still small voice of God and realize that God is speaking to them. And it's by faith. And people say, well, you're just, everybody's troubled about the bad things they do. Don't think anything about it. Yes, do think about it. Because God is faithful. If we will exercise our faith, we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we're drawn close to Him, and the first thing you know, we have fellowship with Him, and we have fellowship with one another, and we're God's children, and we get some things done. It's faith. Now, faith isn't believing that God can do it. Faith is believing God will do it. There's a big difference. You know, everybody, oh, I know there's a supreme being. He's all-powerful, omnipotent. And He's omniscient, He knows everything, and He's omnipresent, He's everywhere. I believe that, but He's off there, I don't know much about Him. Well, that's where you've got to walk by faith. It's not by sight. God isn't going to appear in the flesh to you, and you're not going to look on His face, but He will strive with your heart. And you can call it conscience, or whatever you want, but God works through the conscience. God works through speaking to you in the still of the night. And I have often said, and as I speak to groups, everybody prays sometime or other. You get in the situation where you call on God for help. That don't mean that there's those that just like to use God as a friend when they're in need and forget about Him. And God isn't going to be our Savior, and we won't have that fellowship with Him unless we're willing to have Him as Lord of our lives. But if we make Him Lord of our lives, and we obey Him by faith, we'll be able to do everything He asks us to do, and we'll know that we're obeying Him. His still, small voice will whisper, well done. And we don't go about saying, look at me, I'm pleasing God. No, but the excitement of having the blessing of God on your life and knowing that you're absolutely minding God. Now, there's no use lying to God or trying to con Him, because He looks on the heart and He knows. He knows the thoughts and the intent. But it's that we get realistic with ourselves and realize, and half of it is that we sell ourselves too cheap. We're important in God's sight, and He wants to use us, and He wants us to humbly follow Him and give Him the praise, but He works through these humans like you and with me, and we need to pray the prayer of the psalmist, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord. And so I remember that night that I was struggling home and didn't want to be a drunk and realized I was headed that way and looked up at those old stars and tried to pray, and all I knew to pray is, Lord God, You're up there. The loggers and the cowboys all believed that. My dad believed that. And they weren't Christians at all. But one old logger said, anybody that looks at these trees and the mountains and the rivers, sleeps out under the stars. Anybody with an ounce of brains knows that this just didn't happen, that there's a supreme intelligence, and I believe it was God. And we didn't evolve. My old dad said, and I laugh at it, he said, "Son, I want you to get a higher education. I only got 6 years, and it's been like a rope around my neck, and my dad kept me home to work on the ranch, and I didn't get to finish grade school. Now, I want you to go to high school, and when you get there, they'll try to tell you that you came from a monkey, but you didn't. God made you." And I laughed at that. Higher education, going to high school, that was high education to my dear old daddy. But we've laughed about it because I got 6 years in the colleges after high school, and he was right there by my side. And he said, "Son, you can do it." And he said, "God will help you." And he wasn't a Christian at the time, but I'd become a Christian, and my mother had become a Christian, and my sisters. When I decided to go to school, I was just a few weeks under 17, and I made it known, and my sister and an older girl had been back to that little Methodist school in Kansas and taken normal training, and they were going back that fall to teach school in a little old one-room schoolhouse 1 year after high school. If you took normal training in a college, you could teach back there in those days. And they said, "We'll buy the gas if you get a car." And I sold my rifle and my bicycle and took my wages, and I went over on Union Avenue in the old B.C. Eaton used car lot, and I bought a Chevrolet, a 29 Chev. That's the six-cylinder model. But that old car is pretty well worn, and I brought it home, and Dad said, "It sounds like to me that the pistons are swapping holes. You'd better be careful with that thing." And I started out, and I had a 2-gallon can of oil on the running board and a rack on there with our suitcases and a rack on behind with, we had all our stuff, and the three of us in there, and we headed for Kansas. And I'll never forget, we drove hard all day from Portland, headed east, and it took all day on the old scenic highway. There wasn't any freeways, and it took all day to get to Pendleton. And got up there, it was about 5 o'clock in the evening, and going down the old hill into town on old Highway 30, that old rear end let out a roar and a squeal and locked up and got her stopped. The rear end went out of that Chevy. And I didn't know what to do. Two girls and me, I was still 16. All right. And I'll tell you, it was a desperate situation. But I started to jack it up and fix it up. And a guy pulled up and said, "What in the world are you doing?" And I said, "I'm fixing the rear end." He said, "You know anything about differentials?" That's what a rear end is called. And I said, "No, I'm going to the wrecking yard and get one, the whole thing, and put under here." And he said, "Where are you going?" And I told him, and he said, "Well, why? There's colleges out here. Why go to Kansas?" And I said, "Well, we're Christians, and that's a Christian school." And he said, "Oh, Christians. Well, you better let me help you." And he said, "Wait, we'll get those wheels back on, and I'll tow you home." And he took us to his house and fed us supper, put us up for the night, and worked on that after supper, and he took it apart. He sure knew his business. And he said, "I'll get the parts. You're right. The gears are ground up, and I'll get them, and I'll fix it up tomorrow night after work, and you'll be going the next day, and you'll only lose one day." And he fixed it all up and got us going, and he charged me only $10. I only had $30 in my pocket. You know who he was? He was the shop foreman from the Chevrolet garage in Pendleton, Oregon. When a 17-year-old kid is down on his luck, God's up to something. And I prayed and said, "Lord, help us." And I was desperate, and I didn't know the answer. And he sent the best. He didn't send a flunky out. He sent the best Chevrolet man in town, the shop foreman from the Chevrolet garage, and touched his heart, and he fixed it up and charged us a pittance. We went on to Kansas. And I pointed God back to that again and again, and I'm still doing it. In fact, when the things looked kind of bleak a few months ago, I reminded God he didn't fail me when I was a 16, 17-year-old boy going to away in an old junk car to Kansas 1,800 miles and have it break down in the first 500 miles. If he didn't fail me then, he's not going to fail me now. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And neighbor, I'm sharing these things with you because I haven't lost focus, but we're tackling a big problem. The churches have closed out their Bible schools. Most denominations have been into Indian Works, but they give it up. It's a hard field. One person told me, why, you can get more people saved in Africa for $100 than you can over here, but we're not raising spuds. We're reaping souls. And these Indians have a right to have somebody come out there that has a vision and a burden and a passion and is willing to love them and help them and point the way, and that's our mission. Our call is to evangelize on these Indian reservations, whether it's like someone knocking at the door or whether it's in a crusade or anything in between. By all means, win some that they might make their calling and election sure.
Thank you for listening to this classic First Nation Ministries broadcast with our founder, Reverend Don Klein, where our goal is to reach out to the Native American tribes throughout the country and share Jesus Christ with them. We do it through an act of love by providing much-needed food, clothing, bedding, and just those basic things they simply don't have. You can help us by donating those basic necessities to First Nation that would in turn be driven and delivered to our Native brothers and sisters. The ministry also has another need, help with our operating expenses, including radio airtime. Radio has proven to be an excellent way to share our message, and yet there is a cost involved, and it can add up rather quickly. And that's why we ask you, our committed listener, to help us with our radio expenses. God made it clear to our founder, Don Klein, many years ago to reach out to these hurting people, and we want to continue that vision to take the powerful message of Christ to our Native American family. Thank you so much. You can help us reach our Native American brothers and sisters with your prayers and financial gifts. Please write to us at First Nation Ministries, Post Office Box 30055, Portland, Oregon 97294. That's Post Office Box 30055, Portland, Oregon 97294. You can call us at 503-477-6077, 503-477-6077. 6077, and visit our website at firstnationministries.org.